now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hyde.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's go.
Happy New Year, TNJ. We are back, 2024. We are sitting here currently in this cozy little...
Cozy.
Studio.
Weathering a torrential torrent of rain.
Yeah, I just got a national alert on my phone that I didn't need to leave unless I was fleeing a flooding area. So, maybe here hunkered down.
You might have to leave this podcast because it's about to be flooded with good vibes.
Mm.
I just wanted to start the year strong with a really creepy joke.
That's rough. That is rough.
Okay, so everybody that's in the listening area is going to know exactly when we're recording because there's only like one day that like Noah almost reappeared.
Yeah. I'm out of school.
E-learning. That's right.
Shout out to e-learning. Chilling over
here. Shout out to the 2023 fantasy football champion.
Yeah. I end up taking it all.
That's right.
Weathered the storm of losing Herbert and Keenan Allen.
Last podcast, wrapped up Christmas, talked about how I barely squeaked into the playoffs by 3% chance, landed it, everything fell, but you took it. You took the cake. You rode it all the way. Although, even though I lost in the first round, my team was better than everyone else.
Did you outscore everybody for the following weeks?
Yes. So that's what's crazy. You realize I lost in the first round by 4 points because of two catches that happened in the last minute of the last game in the first round.
Yeah.
Caused me to lose by 4 points. The final two catches of that game, if I would have won, if literally any of my bench would have played, if they wouldn't have benched Sam Howell, if anything else would have went different, I would have won that game and I'd have won the championship. My team, like I beat y'all. The championship, I outscored the championship by like 50 points.
Yeah. That's unfortunate, Marty.
I know.
That is unfortunate.
Honorable mention.
That is unfortunate.
But you, listen, I'm going to be honest. You impressed me because you put in the Chargers backup and he did good for you.
He's all right. Yeah, he's all right.
You nailed it.
They fell through. They fell through. They followed through for me.
Chargers did what they always do.
I was pulling for them to lose.
Trying to get some Sunday draft picks.
Yeah, top five pick now. We're about to get Jim Harbaugh from Michigan.
I was about to say.
Hopefully.
Where's Jim Harbaugh going? I think the Chargers would be a good fit.
He played for the Chargers. So he went back to the college he played for.
He likes the West Coast, apparently. He was in San Fran.
Now he can go up to the team he played for in the NFL.
And with all that heat that he took this year, I expect him to slip off. We'll see.
He can cheat for us all day, every day. I'm down for it. Go ahead.
Oh, so congratulations to you.
Marty.
I feel like it was a rigged system.
It's
what?
Not rigged. Why don't you introduce everybody to your new endeavor?
Oh, yeah.
So starting this year,
if you live in Spartanburg County, you know I'm a counselor. And I was at Envision Counseling Services on the east side of Spartanburg. Well, starting in January, I have launched a second Envision Counseling and on the eastern side of Spartanburg. So there's the main campus on the west side, and I'm now at the east side spearheading a second location. So new office. New look, new outlook on life, new desperation to fill my calendar.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's great. I mean, it's just a continuation of what I did at the other site. We're partners and continue to work. And, you know, it's the same agency, just two sites. So we'll see what the next year holds. So
that's where we're at right now.
That's where we're at. So
this little cozy little spot here.
I got a funny story, and I think you'll find this amusing.
Oh, Lord.
So Nate Bargatze. Comedian, clean comedian. You know Nate, right?
Yes.
Freaking hilarious. Have you heard his stand-up about where the airlines got his name wrong?
No, I think you played me a TikTok one time.
Oh, yes. So it is probably, in my opinion, one of the funniest bits he does, where he basically, he goes by Nate Bargatze, but his name is Nathaniel or something. But on his Delta thing, it says like Nathan, or it's like a third option, and how he's it's a stand-up bit, so you don't know how much is true, but he's like, he's at the airport and the guy's checking his like Delta stuff compared to his license, and he's like, these names don't match. And he's like, they kind of do, like Nathan, Nathaniel, like, I think you can see how we got here. And he goes, in that moment, I realized this man cannot know that I go by Nate.
Right. No.
Yeah. And he goes, and I asked the guy, well, what should I do? And he goes, leave. You just leave. Like, you can't fly today. So anyway, it's hilarious. Go look it up. It's on social media. Nate Bargatze. It's hilarious. I literally had that happen to me.
When?
Not the same name, of course. All right, so let's fast forward to what's happening. We got two phones shipped to us via UPS, right? Got two new cell phones.
Okay.
What we didn't realize is it's signature upon delivery. So Ashley and I are both at work, and all of a sudden there's a UPS man on our Ring camera, and Ashley starts talking to him, and he's like, I can't deliver this unless there's somebody here to sign. So Ashley's like, well, we're freaking at work. And he's like, well, I'll come back tomorrow. And she's like, well, we're at work that day too. And so she ends up calling UPS, and they're like, well, if you just come by after hours, I'll make note of it, and we'll have the package here. And she said, there's this customer entrance, and you just come in, let us know who you are, sign for the package, and then we don't have to deliver it. Perfect. Because they're open like at like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Like, you can go after hours. And so we go over there. Let me tell you something. You ever been to a UPS hub? We're in the UPS hub over off Heron Circle, like where all of UPS
and
And we get there, and apparently all UPS drivers are returning from work about 7:30. It was chaos. It was terrifying. It looked like a giant game of Tetris.
Yeah.
That was, when I tell you that hundreds of big brown trucks pulling in. So, anyway, my name is the one on the Verizon account that has the ability to like sign and stuff. So the package is in my name. So Ashley's like, you need to go sign for it. She tells me what door to go in. And so I go walking in, and there's a lady standing there. And you could tell this lady was there because it was her job. But there was 0% of her that wanted to work. Like, or that's not true. I'm not going to say she didn't want to work. But like, she didn't want to put up with stupid. I could tell you. So she comes, and so like, and because I'm nervous, like I've never been here. I'm walking into a UPS hub. You know, of course, I feel the need to over-explain myself, right? Kind of like I do on stories. And so I walk up, and she's like, how can I help you? And I was like, yeah, like we had this package delivered, and like we called you. She goes, what name's on it? And I said, well, we talked to this lady named Megan. She goes, yeah. What name's on the package? And I said, John Height, which is my legal name. And she goes, I'll be right back. And it's just me and her. Only one in this little office. She walks in the back. She comes out like 5 minutes later. And she goes, yeah, would it be under any other name? I said, no. She goes, well, we don't have a package by that name. And I said, are you sure? Like, it was through Verizon. It was sent to me. I know it was sent to me. I was there when the order was placed. John Height. She goes, yeah, there's nothing under that name. You sure there's no other names? I said, I'm sure. There's...
Why wouldn't you say Marty?
I wasn't even thinking about that. Well, I wasn't
it's
even
literally
thinking
your
about
name,
it.
Though.
I know.
Okay. And I'm kind of on her side right now.
So
you're gonna have to do something.
So we go, because 99% of the time, every time I sign up for something, I use my legal name. Here's the caveat: my dad, who hasn't heard this story, thank you, Dad. When he added me as an account manager or added my profile in Verizon, he just used the name I go by. So that's the name Verizon has. Whereas if I would have set it up, I would have used John Height because I just universally use that because my ID matches it. And so we go in circles for like 2 minutes, no joke. Like, she's like, you sure there's any other name? I said, I'm pretty sure there's no other name. I was like, Ashley Height? Is there an A? She's like, no. Scott Height? Nope. And I said, and then it clicks. And I said, Marty Height? She goes, there you go. I'll be right back. And she comes out with it. And I said, yeah. I said, well, that's not my real name. That's just the name I go by. And she goes, I'm going to need to see your license.
Oh, my God.
And so she pulls out her license and looks at it. And I was like, and I felt like Nate because I was like, well, you see, my name's John Martin. But, like, Martin, you can see how we got here.
How Marty, yeah. So you had to convince her.
And she like looks at it. She looks at me. And I'm like, and then I'm thinking, what picture's on my license? Because if it was more than a few years old, like my hair's short, may not have a beard, like I can't remember what. And I'm like, so I'm thinking she's going to deny this. Because like when I tell you, like she stuttered for a minute, she stopped. She's like looking. And I was like, really? I go by Marty. My name's John Martin. It's like since birth, that's what my parents have called me. And finally she was like, all right, come here. I'll scan it.
I mean, to be honest, I'm on her side. Like you made it out to be like it was gonna be on her.
I know. It was switched up on
you. I'm sure everybody on the podcast right now is yelling at you like, why would you not just say Marty?
Well, this is what my wife deals with is sometimes I have just these dumb moments and she's like, you're an idiot. Like why are you unnecessarily causing tension in this moment? Well, to make matters worse, once I knew we were getting the phones, so Ashley had been hyped up because she's like, how are we gonna get these stupid phones? Now we gotta go, like she's like, and then she has this email from Megan at UPS about what we need to do. And so I'm in there, so I text her and I was like, they can't find the package. The package was sitting in front of me. And she's like, all caps, oh no, are you serious? Are you for real right now? And so part of me is like, man, she's probably calling Megan. And so then I text her, I'm like, yeah, they say we're going to have to come back another day. And like I walk out and I'm like peeking around one of the trucks, just watching the car to see if she just comes popping out, like ready to kill people. And so I finally walked. She's like, what? And I said, I'm just kidding. I got the package.
Ashley would have burned UPS to the ground.
She ain't no joke, man. She ain't no joke. She don't play games. Yeah.
That, to be honest. Yeah, that would be. Did you tell her?
Here's my question.
And did she yell at you about you not saying Marty?
No. Once we had the phones, I'm pretty sure she didn't even listen to the story. This is probably the first time she's hearing it, even though it's the second time.
Yeah.
Because she's like unpackaging her pretty new phone and activating it. And so she was in the back. I was talking to myself. Charlie heard me. Me and Charlie talked.
You and Charlie talked?
My 8-year old. He probably knows more of the story than anybody.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. But I'm sitting there the whole time thinking, why didn't you ask me if my name's Marty?
Because she can't. Well, obviously, if she says Marty, you'll be like, all you had to say was yes.
I get that.
Like if somebody come up and be like, oh, it's height.
Right.
And she'd be like, oh, is it Marty height? And they'd be like, yeah.
Well, let me.
What's the chance of her making up a name?
Well, let me tell you how things go in rural Chesney, South Carolina. If I walked into the post office there, my guess is they'd probably like, eh. You look like a Joe. Here's some Joe mail.
Oh my god.
I don't think they operate by the same stringent standards UPS does.
Right. But they also probably have people who come in and they say, what's your name? And the person that's responding will usually say the name that they're called 99% of the time. They're not just going to pull out something that you don't go by.
Oh, that was such a funny moment. Like, literally, I was both terrified and laughing because as soon as I pulled out my license and I could see the look of complete, like, distrust on her face, all I could hear was Nate Bergaski in the background going, surely you can see how we got here.
True.
Anyway, so that
you
was my...
You dropped that line on her.
I did.
Oh, did
I said,
you?
I think you can see how we got here. I didn't say it
if
the same way.
She would have known.
But I said the line.
Do you imagine if she would have known, like, that actual bit?
Yeah.
And she would have been like, that would have made it more suspicious. Or that would have been absolutely hilarious for her.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, though.
She looked like she could take me, so.
So when was this?
Did
this start your 2024 year off?
Yeah, it was right before we went somewhere.
So 2024 started off with.
It was last week. I don't know. Yeah.
Story.
It was post-Christmas. Post-Christmas.
So technically, really post-Christmas is the new year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Anything after the 25th is the new year.
Yeah.
That's true.
New year, for the most part.
So, anyway.
So your New Year's resolution is?
New Year's resolution.
To change your name on your license to Marty John Martin. Hi.
You know, what's funny is there are some legal places, I can't think of them off the top of my head, that have my middle name as Marty. Legally, like in the official, they think my middle name is Marty, and so they just put it John Marty Height.
I feel like at some point in your life, there's going to be some issues, and then it's not be a UPS package.
Well, that's why I try to consistently use my legal name for anything I fill out. any document, even if I think it's stupid. Like, I just try to make it a practice of using my legal name on all documentation.
That's probably
and fair. Reserve Marty for just personal interactions.
That's probably fair. So you can do that. Except for UPS.
Except for UPS. And let's be fair. I could go on the Verizon account and change the name.
Yeah.
Like, I could. That's true. I just haven't thought about it. But
it's too late now.
Do you do... Okay. So, after Christmas, New Year's, right? Literally, on the 26th, it's New Year's. And everything's New Year's until the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're back to normal.
Mm.
So, you have, like, a month of Christmas through the 25th, a week of New Year's, and then the year starts. Do you do New Year's resolutions?
I mean, not. I personally do not usually, but...
Have you ever? Have you ever attempted to do a New Year's resolution?
I mean, not off the top of my head. I mean, I say things, but like writing it down and like, I mean...
You say things.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say like, this I really year. Want to read more, or I really want to like the tennis
Like just
thing.
Obscure.
Yeah. And then I'll do it or not do it. But
you don't
actually,
remember what you say 30 seconds later.
I know. That's why they never get accomplished. So, but now Sarah does.
Does she?
Yeah.
Like she sees them all the way through? Probably, because opposites attract, and you don't see it through, so surely
yeah, she
does.
She usually does. And we'll talk about New Year's resolutions, and then we'll talk about what we want to do. And so I'll have some personal ones that I don't, but I don't know that I remember what they are 3 months later. What about you?
Yeah, I think, I can't remember if I discussed this on the show, but I got really, somehow, I don't know how my mind works. But in college, I used to hear, you know, all these people, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read the whole Bible 4 times through. I'm going to exercise every single day. I'm going to, you know, eat healthy, you know, whatever. It's normally about some type of a self-improvement plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like 9 times out of 10, there's some type of a self-improvement nature to it. And so I just had this idea. I was like, Marty, do a New Year's resolution, but like do it. And so I put tons of thought, and this was like 15 years ago. I was at North Greenville. I was like, I'm going to do a New Year's resolution. And so I came up with some rules for myself. And I actually think these are really good. So if you're sitting here and you're like also looking to, maybe I want to do a New Year's resolution, I think my rules that I came up with are pretty good. So it's really simple. And that was, I wanted to come up with something that was relevant to my life. Like, in my life, the principle that I wanted to employ was discipline. I wanted to increase discipline in my life. And that's been universally true, right? How can I be more disciplined in living the life the way I wanted to? And so I was thinking, what is something that I can do or not do that will increase discipline? But the second thing is, it has to be relevant to me, right? Like, it has to impact me at some point. But it has to be simple enough that it doesn't make me miserable to the point I can't do it. So it has to rub me a little bit. Like I have to make some hard decisions at some point, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's doable. So that in just one baby step, I increase discipline in my life. And then the third rule was, if I'm ever with people at somebody's house at an event, and honoring the code, honoring the resolution, would somehow impose on, offend, or make somebody else's life uncomfortable, in that moment, I would not do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it was about me. I didn't want to make other people uncomfortable.
Right.
And so when I tell you what it is, it'll make sense. And so I forget what I did the first year, but I did it successfully. And so I just started a pattern of what is something I can do each year that follows that same rule, is a small act of discipline that... And so I have done no fast food for the year, right? That was a bigger one. That was harder. I went a whole year without fast food. No fried foods for a year. I did that once. A lot of them have to do with like healthy conscious choices. A lot of times I'll look back and be like, what's an area that was a pitfall for me? I'm like, oh, I ate a lot of desserts. All right, let me try to eliminate that. And so back, I think I was 29 when I decided to do my biggest one yet. And it was kind of threefold. I wanted to remove a large amount of sugar from my diet. And so I decided to do no candy, no desserts, and like no soda or sweet tea. So candy, desserts, soda, tea. It doesn't mean I can't have sugar, but those are the those I would say those are the food groups that carry the most amount of sugar, outside of maybe cereal. And so I've continued to renew that. And so I'm sitting here in my mid to late 30s, and as a 30-year-old individual, I have never had, knowingly, desserts, candies, or sodas. And thankfully, I've actually never been in a situation where I've had to compromise on that, right? And so going back to if I was at somebody's house and they're like, here, I want you to try this, and it was part of the meal, I wouldn't say no. Like, I would not offend them or be like, cause a big stink over it. I would just take a bite and move on.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I haven't been in that situation. There's only been a handful of times that I've accidentally broke it. Example being sometimes, you know, at dinner, you grab the wrong cup. And I, instead of drinking some unsweet tea, I drank some sweet tea or some soda, something like that. That's happened maybe two or three times. Let me tell you something. When you get used to not drinking sugary drinks, soda and sweet tea does not taste good anymore. So it really wasn't that hard to put it down. So that happened just a few months ago. I had a situation where a patient brought me what I believe is a piece of candy from another country. And he was like, hey, you know, I was traveling. I thought you'd really like this. And it wasn't obvious. I mean, to be fair, I could have Googled it. But he was like, here, I want you to try this and see if you like it. And let me know. And so after he left, I ate it. It was packaged. And so like I think it was like candy. I'm not sure it tasted candy-ish. And so it's like, I kind of like messed up a little bit, but it wasn't, I mean.
So you broke it for
because I was
something
like,
you didn't
I
even know.
I felt like I needed to tell him, but I didn't really know. Like, I don't actually know if it was candy. I don't know what it was.
I think somebody told me it was ecstasy. They call it ecstasy.
Ecstasy?
Yeah, I think they call it ecstasy. So in session, that's why it was the best session of your life because you were rolling the whole time.
Whatever. Anyway, so yeah. And so I've done that. And so what I've decided, though, is that's my gift when I turn 40.
Which is this year?
No. Listen. No. When I turn 40, that'll be my gift to myself. Because I feel like that just feels right. Because it means I've won a whole decade, which is kind of a cool accomplishment. Who can say that?
Yeah.
And then 40 is a big number, right?
And you'll taste it and be like, this is trash. And then go back to it.
You know, I'm pretty sure. I'll be honest. I couldn't eat as many Krispy Kreme donuts as I used to, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that they're still going to taste delicious.
That's probably
even more so, because I hadn't had them in 10 years.
That's fair.
Maybe the recipe's changed.
Doubt it.
So, what's your thoughts on New Year's resolutions?
I'm starting to, just being honest, I'm starting to appreciate them more that I get older.
Yeah.
And by older, however old I am.
We're getting a tornado alert right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
It'll be all right. We're deep into this building. This is the safest room in the building.
Okay. Well,
we're
just going to record until we can't record anymore. I'm starting to appreciate it. Resolutions, goals, discipline, all that. A little bit more. I'm not a huge fan of, like, I have to do this. Like, because in my mind I'm thinking, what are you doing it for? Clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it just to say you're doing it, and don't do it for somebody else, but do it for yourself. And a lot of times when I was trying to come up with resolutions, I would just be like, I don't really want to do that. And I know if I don't really want to do something, I'm not going to do it, so I'm not going to waste my time setting it. But I am starting to appreciate the discipline of knowing that I need to do something and curbing that desire of not wanting to do it to force myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, Sarah mentioned some of her resolutions. We have some fun ones, like we really want to learn how to cook well when it comes to, like, fish. That's just one that she wants to learn.
So you, by the end of 24,
cook fish well.
Good fish cook.
Right, because we don't cook fish. Cook fish. I want to learn how to.
You eat sushi. You've already.
Yeah.
You don't need to cook fish.
Yeah. Well, I make sushi at home. Cook. We love to cook. We love trying new things. And so that's one aspect of it. Another aspect is she wants to, I guess, be more plugged into the community, whether that's volunteering through some. That was one of her goals. She wants to be committed to one of them. And so I was thinking about that, and then you were talking about some things through text message. And when we started talking about New Year's resolutions, I looked, you know, we were researching some of it. A lot of it's self-improvement stuff.
Yeah. it's it tends to be very self-oriented.
Right.
Like, you rarely hear, like, I want to give an extra 10% of my income to this charity or this, you know, thing that I believe in.
Right. And so, you know, your question, and then, you know, Sarah talking about hers made me think, like, all right, we spent a lot of time last year, or I did, and us on the pod and us outside of the pod as well, talking about, you know, theological things, what is the kingdom of God, you know, what is serving others, social gospel, all these things mm-hmm. started to come out. And so I feel like I haven't really done a good job personally applying any of these things that I feel like believe in,
yeah.
I guess, or not doing it well. And so for every goal that you set for yourself, set another goal for somebody else. So if I set a goal for myself to improve my health, let me also set another goal that's going to
find
push
somebody
me
else
for
that's
somebody.
Unhealthy and set the same
yeah,
goal for them.
Say, look,
I want
get
you
your
to
crap
go.
Together. Or no, just counterbalance the self improvement with helping someone else. So volunteer,
kind of a selfish thing and a selfless thing.
Right. Yeah. Like let me get healthy, but also let me volunteer, which is still healthy. Like it's yeah. all healthy aspects. And it's kind of that love your neighbor as yourself. All right. Mm-hmm. If you truly apply that and you counterbalance what, because we usually have the 10% mind yeah. where we're 90% selfish, 10% selfless. And that's just, you know, financially that's, but it probably in time too. It's yeah. It seems to apply throughout.
As long as we feel like there's a trickle of sacrifice, we feel like we've paid our penance or
right.
done our time.
Yeah, we have tithed in time, we've tithed in finances, we've tithed in sacrifice. And so if you love your neighbor as yourself, it's an even split. You still got to love yourself, but you also have to love your neighbor. And if it's equal, it's 50-50. And so for one goal. I have, but I don't know what that is yet. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
But we do want to volunteer more. Volunteer, get plugged into the society, community, figure out ways to help, do something in those realms. Mm-hmm. Don't know what that looks like. You know, me and you've talked about looking up nonprofits, interviewing them on the podcast. We may do that. Like just being more community oriented. Mm-hmm. But don't know what that is. I'll keep you posted.
Are you going to forget about this in 3 months?
No, because I spent a whole year pretty much theologically studying that's probably what I should do.
Okay.
And
Sarah's on board.
Yeah.
Well, I trust it more to get done if she's on board.
Sarah's kickstarted it. Yeah. So Sarah kickstarted, led that initiative there.
You know, one time I was talking to a cousin of mine, and he, and this was probably like 10 years ago, and he was wrestling with some theological concepts, and he had pretty much accepted this fact that, like, Jesus is the model we should go after. And he said, he was driving down the road one day, and he saw this, like, this trash can that had been kicked over. It was on a main road, and there was this really old man trying to pick up his trash, and people just kept driving by. And he said he drove by, and then he instantly was like, what are you doing? He turned around and went back, and he said, I just acknowledged that my life needs to look like Jesus. If it does, that means I need to make my life look like Jesus.
Right.
And he said, with a clear conscience, I couldn't go past that man. And that's where I get hit, where, you know, and people will co-sign what I'm about to say, and that is my job is a ministry. And I agree with that. Like, I do. But sometimes I also feel like I use that as an excuse to not feel obligated to serve beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, I serve at my church and serve, and I view, you know, my work as a counselor, as a ministry. But sometimes I'm like, are you, but I also get paid.
Right.
Right? Like, there's also a kickback for me. And sometimes I'm like, Marty, are you using that as an excuse to be selfish with all your other time? When you have enough time in the year for what matters to you. You know, it's easy to say, I don't have that much time. I have enough time to watch a series on Netflix. I have enough time to watch any sports event that I want to. I have enough time to go on a trip that seems really cool to me. And so I have thought last year when we were having these conversations, on one hand, I'm like, yes, I think the Bible does point to that, right? Like, the Bible can express things that are beyond Jesus, but it can never contradict Jesus. He is the standard, right? That's universally accepted. And as the standard, he lived a life of complete sacrifice and service. Right? Can we live it on the same level as he? No. But he's the standard. And so part of me is like, theologically, like, yes, as you would say, cosign retweet. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, be like, oh, crap. How does my life look need to look different? Because even to just discuss it theologically is easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just words. And so do you really believe it if all it ever is words?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what's the saying? Actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And so I'm with you.
Yeah.
And so your goal is you and Sarah want to find some place where you can plug in like a volunteering capacity.
Sure. I mean, just
that was just the initial idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easiest option. Serving in some way to some degree, because I miss that aspect of it. You know, I miss, if I look back into my life, I'm like, in all honesty, probably the past year and some change maybe is the only time that I haven't really been plugged into anything, doing something. You know, through most of church life, I've been involved in something as far as like leading or serving or, you know, teaching or, you know, whatever. And the past year and a half, I probably only participated, which was fine because I feel like that was probably necessary for everything that was going on. But I don't know. I just, you know, Sarah was talking about doing it and, you know, we have talked about it before. I think it would be just a cool concept to tie in TNJ with that in the sense of, you know, how can we spotlight some of this if that is our mission or goal in our own lives? Like if we mm-hmm. bring somebody in, you know, we talked about volunteering somewhere, having them on the podcast afterwards. Like if me and you and the wives go and we volunteer Miracle Hill, then we bring somebody on from Miracle Hill to kind of talk about it, see, you know, just spotlight it. I don't know. And so just to kind of
Would that feel self-serving? Like
I thought about it, but then at the end of the day, it's like anything that you're going to pronounce would probably be that. Or anything that you proclaim feels that way.
Like we're putting a spotlight on it. We're not volunteering because we're trying to bolster the show.
Right.
We're just going to discuss it on the show.
Right. It felt weird to bring them on and not do it.
Right.
You know, like, and we don't have to talk about, I mean, we can talk about our experiences, but just bring them on to highlight it and just to kind of, you know, challenge myself. Like, I haven't done it. I haven't done most of the stuff that I've feel like I've taught or preached more to others that I haven't done myself.
Right.
And then there are some, you know, we talked about it. We've probably talked about this before, but there are benefits to volunteering and serving, and there's health mm-hmm. benefits, and there's emotional benefits, and there's mental benefits, and there's...
Without even researching it, I can tell you, the most satisfied I am in my life has been in moments where it was not about me. Whether it be a mission trip, trying to serve a population that I don't normally interact with, whether it be at a church ministry, serving in a food pantry. Like I look back at these different, you know, went on some trips as when I was a teenager, where I roofed houses, you know, did construction, manual labor. And like, there's something incredibly rewarding that, like, I'll be honest, it goes beyond any single gift that I could receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it illuminates a different part of the brain that if I could choose, I would rather engage that than the, I say that, but I clearly am not. But like, there's something incredibly rewarding about that. You're right, that goes beyond receiving.
Yeah. And it, you know, there was just reading a snapshot of something I just looked up. I mean, you can look it up. Anybody who's listening can look it up. But volunteering helps counteract the effects of stress, anger, and anxiety. Social contact aspect of helping and working with others can have a profound effect on your overall psychological well-being. Nothing relieves stress better than a meaningful connection to another person. And you can also do this by working with pets and animals to improve mood. Makes you happy, combats depression, increases self-confidence, provides a sense of purpose, and then it helps you stay physically active and healthy.
So the research backs it up.
Research backs it up.
It is better to give than to receive.
Right. And so on that, you're still self-improving while not focusing on yourself. And I think that takes the pressure off a little bit. Like, because we all, you know, I have to do this year, and there's so much pressure on us to get it done. And when it comes to helping other people, there's not that pressure. Like, some of those benefits come along with just helping others. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a huge, and it sounds so, like, cliche and generic as I talk about it. And, you know, people be like, oh, yeah, for sure. And then it kind of gets dismissed.
Yeah.
Even if I walk out, you know, I could volunteer and be like, oh, yeah, that was fun. But, creating a habit or creating a lifestyle change is different than setting a goal in a way. And that's kind of what I want
to
do.
Because lifestyle changes tend to be more permanent.
Right. I don't want to do a goal and then push it to the side.
And you bring up a kind of allude to a good point, and that is it's good to go volunteer on a one-off basis. But I would encourage you to almost kind of like, if you're listening, you're like, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a challenge. How can I maybe give more this year in some capacity?
Mm.
I would encourage you to look for, like, is a drop in the bucket giving great? Like, go volunteer one time. That's great. But, like, what is something that's already in your life? Like, what is something that's kind of already there that you could capitalize on? You don't need to go necessarily find it. What's something that's already within your passion, already in your range, in your community, where you could become a consistent member of that? Because to me, I think there's an extra value in not only just connecting and giving, but developing the relationships at that task.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But kind of like I said, you can't make it so overwhelming that you burn yourself out and you can't maintain it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what people do, is they'll feel guilty. And so they'll serve to erase their guilt. But then they overdo it because it's reactionary. And so I would say find something that allows you to take a step in that direction. But it's a step that doesn't so radically upset your life that you end up causing yourself problems to the point that you can't continue to participate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's different for different people. Maybe that is just a one time this year, I'm going to go do this. Or maybe it's once a month or once a week. You know, it depends on, you know,
going on,
your circumstances.
Yeah.
Are you married? Do you have children? Mm-hmm. Are you old? Are you young? Right? Do you have a flexible job, an inflexible job, right? There's all these variables that impact how we can plug into the community around us. Even down to, you know, being a foster parent, right? That's a 24/7 gig, you know, of providing the needs for a child whose life has been radically, you know, messed up because of circumstances outside of their control, you know. And so whether you want to, like, man, I want my whole life to be impacted by service, or the way my life is currently structured, I can only do a few things strategically. Like, there's things to be done.
I think you end up, there's one word that keeps popping in my head as you talk that you use a lot, and not to, you know, get you a big head, but it makes a lot of sense. Balance. You know, you've said it before on the podcast, life is a lot about balance. And so when there's a lot of focus on self and not a lot of focus on others, the tendency is to be out of balance.
Yeah.
And so when you can have that balance of, okay, let me love life. Like, we're not asking, you know, in my mind, I'm like, God's not asking you to, like, hate your life and sacrifice everything that you have, and you absolutely just hate your, like, it's about balance. Like, you can love your life. You can love your family. You can love what you do. You can love what, you know, but also on the flip side of that, you can love serving others. Like, there's a balance between loving yourself and loving your neighbor.
Right.
If you don't love yourself, you don't give yourself enough time, then loving your neighbor is almost like a cop-out in a way, or a way to avoid whatever you got going on. Like, it works both ways because, you know, we've seen, and this may go down a rabbit hole that we can pull out of, but I'm sure in sessions sometimes people use helping others as a way to not help themselves.
Yep.
And so for people who have that tendency, maybe you don't need to necessarily dive into other people's lives as much, but maybe you need to focus more on taking care of yourself.
That's a good point. Not all of us are so self-consumed that we don't serve other people. Sometimes we're so focused on other people that we're actually neglecting ourselves.
Right. And yeah. And so it's a balance.
That's a fair point.
Find out where you're out of balance, to use Marty Heights, excuse me, John Heights' words, and kind of counteract that balance. Do you need to focus more on yourself in this area, more on others in this area, and find the balance for your life this year?
Here's my challenge. When I think about this, and this was kind of what I was thinking going into today, because yesterday while I was texting, I was like, it's the start of a new year. We've had some heavy topics lately. Sometimes we're critical. you know, trying to talk about real, raw, honest things. But I was like, man, I want something encouraging. This is encouraging, right? Mm-hmm. This is a positive focus. And the thing I was thinking of is, it is never the wrong time for a good compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And one thing I've learned, so I went to this leadership training 6-8 years ago when I was working for a drug and alcohol agency. And they brought in this kind of motivational speaker. And he challenged us to write a thank you note every single day. He said he makes it a practice to write at a minimum one thank you note every single day of his life. And he said because it helps his perspective to always be looking for what he's grateful for. How somebody's touched his life, how somebody's interacted with him that day, as maybe he's seen something he appreciates about someone else, and he writes them a thank you note. And then it also, in return, that person is receiving acknowledgement for the good that they're doing, the difference that they're making, and probably don't even realize it. And I remember, and I may have mentioned this on the show, I remember walking away from that thinking, wow, that's really cool. That's a really cool concept. And I went and bought a whole bunch of thank you notes. And I can't say I've written a thank you note every single day, but I will say that I write them much more frequently than I ever have. But it's still not that often, right? But I'll never forget, like a week or two after this, I was at this job, and there was this woman who had worked at the drug and alcohol for like 30, 40 years. She'd worked there for a really long time. And she just came in. She was part-time, came in, kept her head down, worked hard. And I remember thinking, her name was Cindy. Man, she's like a hard worker. And I was like, thank you note. And I didn't even really know her, right? I was new to the agency at the time. I just wrote a thank you note. And I was like, I really appreciate and admire the hard work you do. Like, you come in consistently and bust out more work in 20 hours than a lot of people do in 40. I just wrote that quick, left it in her box. She walked into my office the next day and sat down with it. And she started crying. And she said, I have worked here for X amount of years. And you're the very first person to ever tell me thank you. And I remember thinking, I think we often probably recognize good things in life, but we do a crappy job of acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
We're quick to criticize, slow to compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if nothing else, if your life is maxed out, you 100% have time to look for a way to compliment people. Because you never know what that person's going through or what their circumstances look like. And how that one word of encouragement may be the energy they need, right? Who was it? It was like Mark Twain or somebody that said, one word of encouragement, one good compliment can carry me for months or weeks or something. And that's true. You know, whether it be a text message of, I appreciate you for this reason, or a quick thank you note, you know, or just acknowledging, hey, I saw you do that. That was really cool. I appreciate it. And just kind of letting the inside thought come out and see what kind of difference that starts to make. Because then you start looking for things, like looking for ways. And I'll end with this. And so at the end of this past year, our pastor and his family wrapped up their service at my church, right? They're pursuing some other stuff, and they're wrapping up their service there. And so I'm not going to be, you know, serving with them anymore. We're looking for a new lead teaching pastor. Well, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I was the part-time youth pastor at that church. And it was, let me tell you, it was a struggle. It was a struggle because I was out of balance, right? My wife and I were overstretched. And so, not only that, like, I don't think my gifting is leading youth ministry. I love youth, love participating. I was not prepared for what I was doing. So I was struggling. And I'll never forget. So Rachel, who's my pastor's wife, she volunteered a lot with the youth. And so a lot of times, for like a couple of years, it was just me and her. We'd, you know, spend a lot of time together. And I'm a pretty, like, lighthearted guy. Like, you know, I drop some randomly deep thoughts on here. But in life, you know, if you hung out with me, it's a lot of like stupid jokes, cheesiness, and like sarcasm, I guess. And like, I never know what's being portrayed to the world around me, you know, and because you can only see the world through your own eyes. Well, I remember we were sitting there one night and somebody made a joke about me at my expense, one of the youth, which was fine, no big deal. And Rachel, and she probably has no, she probably does not remember this, but this was at a time where I was struggling. She goes, you know, she said, I don't think that's true of Marty. She said, I think he is much deeper than you realize, has a much bigger heart than you realize and cares far more than he lets on. And I felt in that moment like she, you know, those moments where you feel exposed and I'm like, oh crap, I've been exposed. I felt exposed. Like she had seen past my guard. Like she had seen past my armor, but in the best way possible. Right? Like I remember sitting there saying, you get it. You don't think I'm a phony. Or you, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was just something about it. And maybe it was just that day. Maybe it was the timing of it. I don't remember. But here I am 6 years later. And this is the weird thing. There's probably not a month that goes past that I don't think about that. So does that speak to the power of that comment or to the fact of how few I've received? Huh. That one sticks out. But, hey, thank you, Rach.
Yeah, a little bit both.
And so it's like it was tremendously impactful. And she didn't have a clue. She was just talking, right? She was just making a statement. But because she chose to speak encouragement, like to this day, 5-6 years later, it continues to be a highlight reel in my head of like I really appreciated her for saying that. And so like there's never a bad time for a good compliment. So if I could think of one, I would tell you one right now.
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But the kindest thing I can say right now is nothing.
Yeah. Just flat. What a great start to 2024.
Back to stupid.
Well, that's a good one. Okay. Summing up with this.
Final thought. Ready, set, go.
You.
Me.
Three practical ways.
Oh, you're asking me a question?
Yeah.
I thought you were giving the thought.
Well, I'm going to say three things. You're going to say three things.
Oh, okay.
We're going to wrap
paper,
it up
rock,
with,
scissors.
Well, I was, in my mind, I was thinking through SMART.
Right? Oh, yeah. SMART, measurable. What is it? SMART goals are simple or specific?
Specific,
measurable, attainable, realistic, time-specific.
Yeah.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Three practical, relevant ways someone can love others. One, compliments and kindness to others. Two other ways. It's just practical things.
So you're just giving one. Compliments and kindness.
No, that's what you just went through.
Oh. What's two other ones?
Yeah. What's two other ways that are simple ways that you can show that towards other people? And then I'll do three that you
can
show towards yourself.
Like, because you, like, there's kind of three parts to who we are. There's the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, right? You could argue psychological, but let's stick with those three. Attempt to meet one need. Three, right? So an encouragement meets an emotional need. How can you meet a physical need for somebody's life this year?
Just go kiss somebody on the forehead.
Just give them a little smoochy.
Yeah.
No. How can you physically meet a need, right? And that could be through financial, or that could be through food, clothing. You know, there's different ways. And then a spiritual need, right? And that could be as simple as saying a prayer for someone and letting them know, hey, I'm praying for you. You know, like what is a way that you can enhance or encourage someone spiritually? So I would boil it down to that. If you're like, hey, what's a way I can look at those three ways? Like, is there somebody in your life right now that needs spiritual encouragement? Is there somebody in your life that needs emotional encouragement? Or is there somebody in your life that needs physical encouragement? And what can you do within your means to meet that need?
Okay. That's good.
So,
all right. So three ways for yourself, I guess I'll answer.
To meet your own. Well, I guess you could say the same thing.
Yeah.
You could use that because that's a kind of a principle to operate from, physical, emotional, spiritual. And so what is a way, like all of mine typically are more physically oriented, physical discipline. But what I do put in my body or what I don't put in my body, right? But the same could be true spiritually. How often do new Bible reading plans start each year? Or I'm going to read through the Bible this year, you know? And so that might be overwhelming. But what's not overwhelming is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And Proverbs is my absolute favorite book of the Bible. It's practical. It's cool. If there's not a single proverb, that if you read it, something will stick out to you. And so there's one for every day of the week, every day of the year, month. And then you can just repeat it for 12 months. And so, like, how can you take a step spiritually toward your understanding of God and your relationship with God this year? Right. And then physically, maybe what's a step in that direction as well? Maybe that's cutting back on something you don't need. Maybe it's increasing something you do need. And lastly, emotionally, right? And that kind of speaks to the balance, right? What is a step towards building a more balanced life? Because when we're more balanced, there's less episodes of stress, anxiety, depression, and the other things that kind of weigh us down and keep us from engaging in a meaningful life, you know? And so how can you take care of yourself emotionally, psychologically this year?
Gotcha.
There you go.
I say piggyback, closing out, be kind to yourself, which people hear, but in all honesty, don't beat yourself up more than you should be beat up. If you mess up, people seem to fall on the overcritical side.
Yeah.
Like, they go to, I'm a piece of crap, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to do this and this. Be kind to yourself. In the same way that you love your neighbor as yourself, it's a back and forth. If you wouldn't treat somebody that way, don't treat yourself that way. Another one would be that I was thinking about, have a conversation or build a relationship with somebody that you normally wouldn't. Branch yourself outside of, and this word is, for some reason this word always sticks in my mind, ecosystem. I don't know why. Like
ecosystem?
Yeah. Like
are
your
you
own,
plankton?
Your own ecosystem. Like there's an ecosystem within who you are.
Yeah.
And there's not, you know, branch outside of that. Somebody that you wouldn't normally have within it that looks the same way, talks the same way, feels the same way, thinks mm-hmm. the same. Branch out of that and build a relationship or have a conversation with somebody outside of that to kind of help
That's good.
See differently.
That's a great
how,
idea.
You know,
yeah.
We're forced to do that, obviously, through counseling.
And that's where volunteering can come in very easily.
And that's where volunteering can come
in. You immediately put yourself around people that you probably don't have a relationship with.
Yeah. And I think it's just beneficial to see other aspects of life. And then last one is just have fun.
Have fun.
Like
that's a good point.
I mean,
enjoy
people,
life.
Yeah, enjoy
Be happy.
It. Enjoy life. Life, it's going to come with its, there's no need to worry about a thousand different things if right now is enjoyable. Enjoy life. Grieve when you need to grieve. Be sad when you want to be sad. But you need to be happy when you're happy. Like, we usually push that one out, being scared of the other ones coming up. And that just robs you.
Embrace it.
Embrace it. Just embrace life. Enjoy life. Ups and downs.
Good feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, first pod, 2024.
2024.
Woo!
It is off to the races.
All right. We survived the tornado, it appears.
I assume so.
Hopefully, y'all did
Unless
as well.
We go outside and literally everything just like...
My truck's in the woods.
Sprawled out everywhere.
So, all right, guys. Until next time, y'all have a wonderful 2024, and y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.